This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. We have Mr. Cliff Sharp on today, and we're going to have an absolute ball. And want to let you know that the first part of this show is brought to you by At Home Care. And they're located at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, and that's behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And if you're having trouble keeping up with the normal duties in your home and you feel like that it's just overwhelming and you may have to leave your home, you don't really have to. Melissa Warren started this business years ago, and what they do is they come into your home 24/7, take care of all the responsibilities inside the home, and even run errands for you, so you can just relax and enjoy life. If this sounds good to you, give them a call, 713-4639, or check them out on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com. Cliff, it's a pleasure to have you here today. I know
My pleasure.
You have been such a positive influence on this community, and you've done so many great things. What really triggered you to come in here and start doing all the things that you have done?
That's interesting. Let me give you a little background.
Okay.
My background's education.
Right.
Last 24 years, I taught at Harding University, coached football and track, and then taught in the science field. So my wife said, we've been in Arkansas 30 years. Mm-hmm. She's ready to come home. She's from Columbia, but Curry Peacock is and Collett Delk, who had those are brother-in-laws.
Right.
And so, anyway, we moved over here, and when I moved, I thought I had a job with Belmont Church in Nashville. They were needing an education director, and then the fellow decided not to leave. So that's the best thing that ever happened, because I got involved with the pregnancy center. They asked me if I'd do some PR work, and so I said yes. I was there less than a month, and the director quit. So I tell people I was the interim director for the next 9 years. But the reason it was so good is that I found out everybody was not just like me. And that is...
Have you found anybody like you?
Well, no, but I mean, people that don't even think like I do. You know, I thought they'd pay people to go on Jerry Springer's show. Man, I could, after a little bit, I could have supplied a bunch of them.
You have seen kind of fussing and fighting. A lot of different people.
I know it. Unbelievable. But anyway, got involved there, and what my wife and I saw is there's, you know, there are just so many people we felt like that had a chance to improve their life if they had someone they could, that would just take interest in them. And so this is what we want to do. We just like to take interest in people. And it's really, I think it's really, really important that they realize if you don't get some education, you're not ever going to change. And so we really work on trying to get people in classes of all sorts. And and then the second reason we started Greenhouse, though, was to also to give people a place to volunteer, because we found so many people, talented people, that would really like to do something, but they don't know what to do or how to do it. So, for instance, last year we served 39,000 people. We have 5 staff members.
Wow.
So you know, everything we do nearly is through volunteers. And
well, their heart's right. You know that.
They are.
You know that automatically.
And you know, so many people, they go to church, and if they're not, you know, a song leader or a you know, somebody that teaches classes or something like that, they really don't know how to get involved. And so they can come down there, and some of them, what they do is sort clothes. And they have the best time. You know, a bunch of them get back there, and they sort clothes, decide, you know, which one do we sell, which one do we give to our, you know, the people that come in, which one do we recycle. And, you know, they have a great time doing that.
You know, so many people make bad choices early in their life, and it just weighs so heavily on them, they become lost. And and sometimes, and I've seen a lot of this, all they really need is for a hand to stretch out to them and say, I'm here, to help you in any way I can, and let's just get you back on your feet. And you were talking about the pregnancy center. What did you mostly deal with there?
Of course, what they do, they give pregnancy tests.
Right.
And then it gives you a chance to sit down and talk to the people. Mm-hmm. And it is, you're talking about a wide spectrum of people. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, you know, some of them are, you know, very affluent. Some of them are not. But, mm-hmm. And it just, every now and then, I mean, fairly often, I'll be somewhere and somebody will say, "Hey, Cliff," and the other one would say, "Hey, you did my pregnancy test for my daughter," or mm-hmm. something like that. Or I had a person come by and say, "Come out here, I want you to introduce you to somebody." Mm-hmm. And so I went out and they introduced him, and we walked in, and he said, "That's that young man that my daughter was going to abort." Mm. And ended up, our daughter-in-law was going to abort and ended up not doing it. And if it hadn't been for you, that child wouldn't be here.
Well,
and
that made you feel.
It really does. And I've and you know, people that you help them maybe adopt a child mm-hmm. or you know find something. I got to do a wedding for one of the people that was adopted just recently, and that's really exciting to be able to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, you've become such a positive influence in their lives, and the people that have helped all of us in special ways, they're never out of our minds and out of our thoughts, and you always relate back to them when things maybe get a little bit tougher than they normally would be. You bring those people in mind, and then you start getting going again.
Right. It triggers it. I mean, I'm sure you can think of a teacher or something like that. I had a seventh grade teacher, and we went through manners all the time. Mm-hmm. And one of those things she made us memorize, one of the ones I always remember, allow all men to open doors. It's one of their more manly chores. And so when I see somebody walk up and just go through in front of two or three ladies mm-hmm. and walk through, that just pops into my mind. You know, he needs some manners. Why didn't he open the door for those ladies?
Well, I love that, but in this day and time, they're liable to slap.
They might. But, you know, I'm gonna just take that if that's a problem, I'm still gonna do it.
Yeah, the values that you and I learned during our particular generation, it's almost like we're on the outside looking in.
I know it.
It really is, and we try to instill that in our kids, and then they try to instill it in their children. But and it still works, but sometimes I think that you're the minority rather than the majority anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the reasons that you've been a school teacher that some of the teachers have such a problem is that they still try to deal on that particular level.
Right.
And it's not like it used to be.
There's no way I could teach in public school right now.
Oh, I don't
know. We joke, my wife jokes about me, you know, when I first started teaching at one day I said, "I'm going to paddle Jackie first period this morning. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll settle down the whole bunch of them." And she said, "Well, how can you do that?" I said, "Well, he needs it anyway."
Yeah, yeah.
and it worked.
Now, my teachers always waited to the last bell. Because you had to worry about it for 3 or 4 or 5 hours.
Well, he didn't know it yet. that was bad. No, but you know, those kids enjoy discipline. They really do. They want discipline. And you know, again, I've coached for 30 years, and you know, they athletes, they want the discipline.
Oh yes,
you know, if they don't get it, they don't respect you.
No.
You know, and so it just, you know, it's amazing.
Some of them today, I don't think they respect you either way.
Well, oh, I don't know. But
I'm sure that over the years you have heard a lot from your students, especially the athletes, because it seems, and you're right, it sinks in more with them than it does anyone else. And you probably weren't here when Coach Pate was at Central High School.
No.
And the thing about Coach Pate was that he was such a strict disciplinarian there was no bending at all with him. And after he had retired, and businessmen and pillars of the community who had played for him, they might be smoking a cigarette or have a drink in their hand or something. When they would see him coming, they would hide it.
Right.
And that shows you the impact of somebody could have when they stay solid with it the whole time. Mm-hmm.
Right. With Facebook, you know, you get a lot of comments from you know, former
You're
athletes
not in
and
Facebook,
people like
are
that.
You?
Well, I am. I don't put anything on it, but I like to read quite a lot of them, and you know, it's really interesting because I can get something there, and then I can email them and talk to them. But it's just really enjoyable. I got a one the other day from a fella. He's he is the president of the Pilots Association out in Southwest. He lives in Oklahoma, and you know, and he just had so many good things to say about, you know, that was the best time of my life when I was playing football.
Oh.
And just, you know, then mentioned a bunch of the guys that he played with. But, you know, you become just like a fraternity.
Oh, you do. All athletes are in a fraternity.
Right.
And here in Rutherford County and in Murfreesboro, I have so many great friends that I've had for 60 years simply because of through playing either baseball or football or one of the sports. And, and it's something that you'll always carry with you. It's something that's a bond that can't be broken.
That's right. But you know, we have so many young people now that have never gone through sports. They just went to school because they had to, but their parents really probably didn't require very much out of it,
right?
And so they do not have any discipline in their lives, or very little discipline, and they can't think of, you know, of anything except just what am I going to get out of it? There's no team, you know. What do we do as a group to be? And again, I think so many kids are missing that today. That, you know, that we were able to have, I think, when things were smaller and there just wasn't so many. But
we all get overwhelmed with life, but they're in that sea or on the lake without a paddle in a boat, and it's just, they don't really see a future, I don't think. I mean, it's just one day to the next.
Well, the thinking, and again, when I said a while ago that people do not think, everybody doesn't think like I do. There is a mentality called poverty mentality, middle class, and, you know, and wealth, and we all basically think differently. But how you use money, you know, people that we say in a poverty class, money's just made to be spent. I talked to a young lady today, and of course she's needing help with rent. You know, she spends her money on something else. It's not, when they get the check, they don't think that rent is due, utilities are due. And again, it's a mindset. And I think until we understand that, and we can start, again, well, you've got to develop a relationship or they're not going to listen to you anyway. But when we can develop relationships with them, then we've got a chance to start changing those thought patterns to where they think, hey, you know, if I get a check, I need to put some of this back. The budgeting classes we teach are probably some of those life-changing classes we teach for those who listen. When people do not think the same, then it's hard. You hear people over there, well, why don't they get a job? Why don't they do what they do? You don't understand how they're thinking.
If you get a job, so you take somebody on that level, and they get a job, they think that they're going to rise up to the level that their role models on television and all of that are, and it just doesn't work that way. But, you know, for some reason, I just feel like that they have been bombarded so much by watching television and some of the other things that you and I weren't, we never thought anything about it. I mean, it didn't matter to us. Whether somebody had nicer clothes or a better baseball glove or whatever, we were just all part of the team back then.
Right.
And now it seems like that when they go into somewhere, they want instant success or they're not happy.
Right. And so they'll work 3 or 4 days and, hey, I don't like this. I'm going to sleep in this morning. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon their job skills are so bad that it's hard, just like you were saying, it's hard to find somebody to work.
Now, when you started Greenhouse Ministries, what was in your mind? When you did you have an overall plan for what you were going to do?
Yes and no. We had an overall plan in that what we wanted to do was see if we could again get people, help them physically. Well, we use the scripture, Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man, you know, well-rounded person. And and we understand that you've got to help people physically before you can do anything else. So we wanted to do a food program. Basically, that time we were just doing a bread program. I was going to Kroger's in my little white pickup truck and picking up food and carrying it around. And then we started teaching classes. Well, this would have been, 90? Well, anyway, they had just put the, or started to put a police precinct over on January Street. And so we went over there and started working with some of the people and then talked to Patsy Nolan and told her, you know, what we'd like to do is, you know, was teach some classes. And I think she felt that she could trust what we were doing. And she asked me one day, well, now, you know, I don't want somebody over here just always trying to save people. I said, Patsy, these folks been saved 8 or 10 times anyway, and if they thought they need to say a sinner's prayer before you do something for it, they would. I said, I'm over here to help people. And that's kind of been our philosophy. I mean, we're overtly religious in the sense they're faith-based, but nobody has to do anything to get something.
This is an area, of course, this is a lot of people think that this is the home of the churches, because in Rutherford County, I mean, we probably, per capita, probably as many churches as anybody has.
I just had an intern update our church list. We had 339 in Rutherford County.
Do most of the churches reach out to you and to see if there is something basically that they can do to assist you?
Well, most is lots of them. We have over 60 churches.
That's quite a bit.
That's a miracle of every denomination. And that's the reason when we chose not to be affiliated with a particular church. I tell people, you know, I pastor people from Monday to Saturday. You can have on Sunday. Because, you know, and it doesn't matter, you know, again, what denomination that people are. We have, again, volunteers from every walk of life. And that's a great thing. But, you know, it's same as true. You know, Baptist and Church of Christ, they work together. They can talk about all kinds of things. But 2 hours Sunday morning, they're not going to be together.
You know, you have been involved in a lot of things. You do the Bible reading.
Right.
Which is very interesting. I can tell you a story on the Bible reading.
Okay.
Myself, Judge David Lowry were there. And one of my favorite people, John Pittard, we were all given passages to read while we were there. And we just took it as soon as they gave it to us, and we would go up and we read, and I read mine, and David Lowry read his, and it just went just so smooth. John Pittard got all the baguettes.
Right.
You're talking about a long session, David. I kept looking at each other. But it's so positive what you do. It really is. Yeah. And you do a lot of breakfast ministries. I know that Mayor Bragg has one. It'll be coming up pretty soon.
Right.
And all of it is really fun and great participation.
Well, you know, we just want to be involved in the committee, in the community as much as we can. Jane and my philosophy has always been, you know, what is needed and what can we do to fill the need?
Mm-hmm.
And just like I was, you know, really, really pleased. I guess this is our sixth year, maybe seven. No, I believe sixth year anyway for the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast. But they contacted us, you know, to do it. And, you know, I just felt very honored that we do. But now that's on the National Day of Prayer day, which is May 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
And still got lots of room for people. And again, I ask you to introduce our speaker, Greg Tucker.
That'll be fun.
It will be. He's, you know, this is part of the bicentennial. I wanted to, when Mayor and I was talking, we said, you know, who's a great historian that could really talk about, you know, the churches?
And you got him.
And the two people that came up, it's interesting, was he and Gloria Christie.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, Gloria Christie is leading one of the prayers for the community. But I love to hear them talk about, you know, about history, what happened, and there is a great religious history in this community.
You know, this community is steeped in really great historical things that have gone on. And the roots are still deep here. And the Rutherford County Historical Society, they really do a great job over there. And they keep us abreast of all the wonderful things. And I've had a number of them on my show. And when they come on, I just sit there with my mouth open because I'm so fascinated by all the knowledge that they have of what's actually gone on here.
Mm-hmm. Well, Frank Caperton is in Smoky, I can't even think of his last name. Anyway, they're putting together slideshow pictures of all the old church buildings and things like that. So it'll be fun.
Now, is that part of what you're doing for the bicentennial? Because that's your month.
Right. I'm on that committee.
Yeah.
And this is three of the things that we'll mention here. One is the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is we're having prayer on the square on the 29th.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're wanting to do is just get, you know, a lot of people to come down. And we'll just, again, just pray for different things. And when we get ready to finish, I've got that list of 339 churches, and we'll just tear pages off and pass them around and have people to pray for those individual churches.
That's
and just
neat.
Mention them by name. To me, it is. And then the other one is one that we're really excited about, and that's Grace Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And I had someone come to me, and they said, you know, this was kind of a dream they had of getting, you know, 10,000 Christians in Murphy Center to just for a night of praise. And so I said, I don't have time to work on something, but if you want to do something like that. But this is for Journey Home and for us. You know, we'll get the proceeds. But the main thing I'm excited about is just getting people together to pray and seeing what God will do.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know.
No.
My prayer is always that revival takes place. But my definition of revival is neighbors starting taking care of neighbors. You know, it's not all-night prayer services and that type of thing. I mean, that may occur. But real revival to me is neighbors taking care of neighbors.
Now, I'll say amen on that. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Cliff Sharp.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Do you
have unfinished projects at your house? Perhaps your house is busting at the seams, but you're not ready to move yet. Or maybe you're ready to move, but don't know where to start. No matter what your situation is, we've got your solution. The Rutherford County Home Builders Association Home and Remodeling Show is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, April 20th through 22nd at the Lane Agripark on John R. Rice Boulevard. There will be companies representing every aspect of building, remodeling, or sprucing up your home. Again, that's April 20th, 21st, and 22nd at the Lane Agripark on John R. Rice Boulevard. For more details, contact the RCHBA office at 890-8224.
Do you ever think much about the energy you use at home? Maybe once a month at the mailbox. Ugh. Well, consider this. There's a program out there called Energy Right from TVA and your local power company that thinks about energy for you. Energy efficiency, that is. Because with the Energy Right program, your home uses far less energy. Particularly when it's powered by a super high-efficiency heat pump and a hard-working electric water heater. In fact, a home fully outfitted with Energy Right features can cost up to 50% less to heat without sacrificing any comfort. 50% less. Now that's something to think about, especially once a month at the mailbox.
I can live with that.
For more information, call your local power company or visit EnergyRight.com.
This is Amy Byers at Murfreesboro Electric Department. For more information on our Energy Right programs, call 893-5514 or visit MurfreesboroElectric.com.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, AmeriCare Pest Control, and the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS.
Aloha, this is Omni Hut.
Everything's made from scratch at the Omni Hut Restaurant. Here's Polly Walls.
I can buy a pre-made store commissary egg roll for less than I can produce my own, but they're not as good, so we stay with what we know. Start from scratch, fresh kitchen.
Traditional luau dinners, Tahitian tidbits, egg rolls, all made from scratch at the Omni Hut.
Come see us at 618 South Lowry Street, just inside Smyrna, near Nissan.
Now, Good Neighbor Events. This coming Tuesday night, conversations about the end of life care. It's absolutely free. And it's Tuesday night at the Center for the Arts in Uptown Murfreesboro. There will be a panel discussing end-of-life care, as well as opportunities for you to ask questions. Dr. James Nunnery, the Director of Palliative Medicine at Middle Tennessee Medical Center, along with local attorney John Blankenship and Middle Tennessee Medical Center's chaplain Jeff Fryer, plus Teresa Quantz from Alive Hospice, and I'm honored to be the moderator. That's at 7 o'clock this coming Tuesday night at the Center for the Arts in Uptown Murfreesboro. Yes, it is free. But space is limited, and they need to know that you're coming. Call Faye Northcutt Knox at 896-4663. If you have any questions, go to the WGNS website and look under Local Events. And there will be more AARP driving classes. For senior citizens who complete the safe driving course, you get a certificate good for a 3-year discount in your auto insurance. If you have questions, call the local AARP instructor, Bob Paradis. His number is 409-6039. Those are Good Neighbor Events. Bobby Hayes receives flowers from Ryan's as our WGNS Good Neighbor. She's always lifting up and encouraging others. She's in the hospital right now and needs everyone's prayers. Bobby Hayes, our Good Neighbor.
Hi, I'm Don Patterson, an internal medicine physician with Middle Tennessee Medical Group, a new multi-specialty office dedicated to the health and well-being of you and your family. Our physicians provide expertise in family and internal medicine, as well as other specialties. Middle Tennessee Medical Group offers 2 locations in Murfreesboro for your convenience. To make an appointment with a Middle Tennessee Medical Group physician, call 396-6800 or visit middletnmedicalgroup.com.
WeatherEye.
Mainly cloudy this afternoon with occasional sun, slight chance of light rain, high in the upper 70s. Tonight, cloudy with showers and storms, low near 51. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 77.
If you've got an iPhone, we have an app for that. If you're an Android user, we have an app for that too. You can listen to us anywhere, on air and on demand. FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450.
The Truman Show now continues on the voice of Rutherford County, WGNS, AM and FM.
And And welcome back with Mr. Cliff Sharp. And we want to let you know that part of this show is brought to you by Gordon Ralston Photography. And they're located at 315 Hickerson Drive. And you can reach them at 396-8776 or pull them up on the internet, www.gordonralstonphoto.com. And Al Gordon, a master craftsman photographer, and Larry Ralston, certified craftsman, both hometown guys, are the most awarded studio in the Middle Tennessee area operating a full-service photographic studio. They specialize in weddings, high school seniors, and family portraits. Their work is classic yet current with a creative edge. Al was even awarded the Grand Award for the best wedding image in the world. Gordon Ralston looks forward to meeting you and will treat you like family. And they are hometown folks, born and raised right here, and known most of them. In fact, both of them, most of my life. We were talking off the air, and Zach was kind of telling us about his vest that he's got on, which I was going to compliment him. I mean, he really looks good. And then when he told me how much he paid for it, I became extremely green.
Well, good. We want to get you over to Greenhouse at the Garden Patch, and because that's where he got his clothes. He was just saying where he, you know, where he's, that good-looking vest came from. Well, he got the whole suit. $8.
That's making me sick to my stomach. I want you to know
eight
that.
Instead of $800.
For somebody that pays $400, $500, $600, $700, $800 for a suit, and he looks better. I mean, his looks better than mine.
Yeah.
Now, how in the world are you guys able to do that?
Well, again, a great community we live in. Mm-hmm. You know, people donate things, and you know, when they donate it, everything that comes in, we separate it in three groups. The very best we sell. So the Garden Patch, I mean, it's high dollar stuff that comes in.
So if somebody's got a really great looking outfit and they're going to get rid of it, they can actually take it over there,
and then you'll
put it to good use.
Right. We and then everything that we sell there goes into the ministry.
Oh, that's
and
great.
And, you know, it helps meet overhead. But the second level we call community, and that's what we give away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people getting out of jail, or somebody that just moved here, or homeless, and they need some clothes. Everything got wet and muddy. And so, anyway, we do that. And then the third level, we recycle through a VA program. So everything that comes in, we use. And again, it's as some of the folks say, it's just like Christmas every day down here, because you never know what's coming in.
So I mean, I don't know why I have been missing out on this. Now,
we have taken
our clothes to other places, but I'll guarantee you, by the time I get through wearing my clothes, nobody would want to wear them.
Well, we'd recycle those to the VA.
Oh, okay.
they would enjoy those. But we advertise on WGNS, and mm-hmm. when we started advertising, our sales doubled.
I can understand why.
Yeah, well,
because you're helping the people that really have bought the nice stuff, and they're not going to wear them anymore. They bought nicer stuff, I guess, or whatever.
Helps them clean out their closet.
Helps them clean their closet out, and then somebody like Zach and me, who are looking for a great bargain, we can go over there, and you guys making money off of it.
Well, in fact, I'll say that is how I was informed of the sale they were having on men's clothing that week when I bought this suit. Was I heard it on WGNS that morning. And I went on over there and snatched up a suit.
And you're a loyal listener. So am I, but I don't know how I missed that particular thing. Because I will jump on a bargain in a heartbeat.
7:45 every morning.
7:45 every morning.
Every morning.
Except
Sunday, nearly every morning. Mm-hmm. My daughter Christy runs the thrift store, and so she's on the radio nearly every morning. So,
but she
tells you what's on sale.
People out there will know you when you're there, because I can tell them you look so much like Billy Earl Palmer. You could be a brother of his. But you were saying that a lot of people think you look like Jimmy Carter.
Right.
Dr.
Jimmy Carter, right.
And that most people call him Opie.
Right. Well, oh, he's a neat guy, great doctor, too.
Tell me some more about the historical part that you're working with now that's based on faith right now?
Right. The what we're doing is just emphasizing just, again, just events to pull people together. At the Grace Fest, Mayor Bragg is going to, you know, give a welcome and talk a little bit about the 200th bicentennial.
And they're doing a great job on that. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate the bicentennial than taking parts of history and putting it together, the things that really make this such a great community.
Each month, you know, they just do something different. And, you know, in some meetings and talking about some of the things that have happened at the churches and everything, it's been really exciting. Of course, I was really interested in the revival that was out in Woodrow back early 1800s, and which again some of the people from there established some of the churches here in Murfreesboro. But you know, just lots and lots of things, the just the historical significance of what the part that religion has played in the community is just really big.
And one of these days, another 100 years from now, you will be a major part of what they'll be talking
well,
about.
Well, I doubt that, but
some of the things that you have learned, are some of them things that you have probably never dreamed of or never thought about doing? Or are you just pretty much on target with a lot of the events that have happened and some of the
No, as people say, that I fly by the seat of my pants most of the time. Just like I said, if somebody needs something, you know, if we feel like there needs to be something done, my thinking is, all right, what can we do to make that happen?
And you're a work in progress every day.
I don't mind making mistakes. I mean, that's one of the greatest things my dad taught me. I'm free to fail. You know, it's okay if I make a mistake. I mean, I do the best I can do, and that's the best I can do.
You're just like all the rest of us. If you fail and you learn something from it, you become better. And I think that's part of the building block process for each one of us.
But the general society today does not know that. If they fail, they failed, and they, I mean, that's why I have to have so many therapists. You know, they can't get over making a mistake.
And that's such an odd thing, because failure is a normal process.
Sure it is.
And everybody puts pressures on themselves that are just not doable. I mean, they really do, and set such high standards. It's almost like watching these movies today that are so superhuman and whatever, that people do illogical things that are far beyond what we can do. That I think that it sets inside them, well, I think I can become successful just like that.
Right. And but they don't realize they have to work.
Yeah, yeah.
And it takes that, you know, when success, failure, success, failure, success, failure, until you finally get there.
When did work become such a negative process for so many people? I mean, work has always been something that's been set in front of us. It is an accomplishment, no matter what it is. There's no such thing as any type of job that is really not something that you should carry around and be honored to do. I mean, there really aren't any jobs like that. But we're in a society that looks down on those.
On certain types of work, but it takes everything. You know, somebody cutting grass is just as important as, you know, CEO of some company.
A whole lot
because,
more fun.
Because if it doesn't look good, you know, if things are not the way they are, it's going to be a reflection on them. So, you know, there's no jobs that's not honorable. And again,
do you ever get into that as far as people who are trying to pull themselves up by the bootstrap? And do you have to get in their head sometimes and tell them, you know, you need to get a job, you need to work, and whatever you do is going to be an accomplishment? I know most of us fathers, we've always told our kids, I don't care what you do as long as you're good at it. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that, that should carry on. People should be proud of what they do.
They ought to. I talked to Richard Watson the other day with CADCOR, and he was working with a young man that got out of jail and had a felony, and mm-hmm. sometimes it's really tough for him to get a job.
Very
so anyway,
tough.
So anyway, he got him a lawnmower and a weed eater.
Mm-hmm.
And he is cutting yards and making money, and you know, he is just, Richard, basically what he said, he just realized that he's a self-employed.
Right.
And he owns his own business. Mm-hmm. And he said he is so excited and really doing a great job. So, you know, if someone will just, again, just take hold. Hey, you know, this is something I can do. But the big thing is he had somebody encouraging him.
Mm-hmm.
And so at Greenhouse, this is one of the things that we... When our counselors work with people, we say really, really listen to them, get to know who they are, get to know something about them, and you know they will come back, and they can come back four times for food before they have to take a budgeting class. But we're going to try to get them into classes. But when you listen to what someone has to say, and you develop relationships with them, then there's a chance that they will take a class or something.
Are you used as a source a lot of times?
That's we again visiting with a young man today, and he's starting a church here. Then we're working with him on some things, but he was talking about a situation, and I said, you know, in most cases we may not can help someone. But we have enough resources in this community that I know of, and a lot of other people know of, that I can put you somewhere where someone will know some about the situation and have some expertise. Now they may not can help them. They may not can pay their rent or help with a utility bill mm-hmm. or something like that, but they can give them some information.
Now, Greenhouse has been in the business about 13 years,
yeah.
I think.
Well, 14. Yeah, they're going on 14.
Mm-hmm. I am sure. Oh. In that period of time, or that span of time, you've had people who you have helped in Greenhouse Ministries that have come back and not only thanked you, but probably have been willing to maybe step
to volunteer.
In and volunteer.
Oh, yeah. A lot of
which that is a very successful story.
That is exciting to have them, you know, come in. And you know, we also have a homeless program where we have houses. That we rent houses for them to live in, and they stay with us. We want them there a minimum of 6 months, and we make sure they go through their classes and everything. And we also have one for veterans. And tell you just a short story. I had the lady that was in her veterans house mm-hmm. came in Tuesday. She said, you know, I've been working my budget. She said, I've got all my bills paid. She said, I've got a sizable amount now in my emergency fund. She says, I think it's time for me to move out and let somebody else
Bless
have
her
here.
Heart.
And you know, you think, wow, that's what the program's all about. And mm-hmm. she said, but I would really like to come down and maybe help you mentor some of the young ladies.
Now, you know, of course, I'm a person, I try to get rid of my callousness every once in a while, because in my business you build up a stone wall because mm-hmm. you see so many things happen here in Murfreesboro. Lately I have been noticing a lot of people, some who have very nice clothes on. They have a sign up. One lady that was standing over here at Old Fort Parkway in Broad had a sign and a beautiful dog in nice clothes. I mean, she looked like she just stepped out of a
let me tell you a story about that. Most of those are coming from Nashville now because, mm-hmm. you know, Nashville, they've really clamped down on them. And
my wife wanted to stop right there in the middle. And I said, no way.
As the homeless guys tell us, they say, if you want to make money panhandling, you got to grow your beard and get you a dog. And he said, if you do, he said, you'll make $100 a day or more.
Yeah, I'm standing right there on that corner. I guarantee you, it's a whole lot
right.
more.
Right, and so, you know, again, those people are surviving, and that's the way they're making a living.
Mm-hmm.
Until you change their thinking, that's all they know, mm-hmm. because they don't know how to work. They've never, probably most of them really have never worked or never had long-term work. They may have worked here and here and here and here. Had a young man I was visiting with the other day, and he said, I finally broke my habit from panhandling. But he said, he used to have a sign. He was out here on the, and he said, I've just, you know, he's got him a little job now. But he said, you know, I know it's not right. And so it was exciting again just for him to finally realize, hey, you know, there's better ways to do than just stand out there and beg when you don't need to, when you're 100% healthy.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen there was an old TV show on at one time, and they had this panhandler, and this was in New York City, and he had his own spot. I don't know, somehow they're able to get their own little spots there. And it was so funny, after his long day of panhandling, his chauffeur would come by and pick him up, and he'd head home. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Cliff Sharp.
This Memorial Day weekend, May 26th through 28th, the Murfreesboro Noon Exchange Club presents the 4th Annual Healing Field, Flags of Remembrance, on Medical Center Parkway next to Belk. You can sponsor a flag in memory or in honor of any hero in your life for just $30 by calling 615-641-0121. Make this Memorial Day meaningful by sponsoring or visiting this year's Healing Field.
Okay, Murfreesboro, the quack is back. That's right, you heard it here first. The Ducks are back in town on June 23rd for the Sudsy's Car Wash Child Advocacy Center Rubber Duck Derby. We plan to float 10,000 rubber ducks down the Stones River, all to raise money for the Child Advocacy Center of Rutherford and Cannon Counties. $5 gets a duck entered into the race for a chance to win a $5,000 cash grand prize. Starting in May, you can adopt your ducks online at duckrace.com/Murfreesboro.
Make plans now to attend the May 5th United We Style fundraiser benefiting the United Way of Rutherford and Cannon Counties. During the May 5th show, you'll see the hottest trends that are hitting Murfreesboro and beyond. You can purchase tickets now for the United We Style fundraiser event. Purchase tickets online at tangerinesalonandspa.com. Support high fashion in your community and support the United Way. May the 5th in Murfreesboro at the Gateway Village.
If you want to get some barbecue, I tell you how to do it. Head for the Slick Pig and you're into it. Just walk through the door at 1920 East Main and your nose will send a message right to your brain.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the Catfish Special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock. $9.99 plus tax for all-you-can-eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw at Slick Pig Barbecue.
Keep your family safe when severe weather strikes. Sign up to receive free text alerts at WGNSradio.com. We're WGNS. AM 1450, FM 100.5 and 101.9.
Attention, attention.
Attention.
Rosetta Stone invites you to be a part of its biggest language learning event in history. Because in 2012, we want to help 3 million people learn a new language. That's why we're going to give you an absolutely free demo of our language immersion technology. Call 1-800-441-6994. Developed to fully immerse you in your new language, the Rosetta Stone solution is easier than ever before. For your free demo, call 1-800-441-6994. 1-800-441-6994.
In business, every day is a compromise between what you want and what your budget will allow. Face it, compromise stinks. But with Staples and HP, you don't have to compromise your printing with no-name cartridges. Switch to original HP and get up to $30 in Staples rewards. Just recycle up to 3 HP generic cartridges and buy HP ink or toner on the same day. That's $10 in rewards for each cartridge recycled. Switch to HP. The number one brand in printing is the number one value. Staples. That was easy. One time only. Offer ends 5/12/12.
WeatherEye.
Mainly cloudy this afternoon with occasional sun, slight chance of light rain, high in the upper 70s. Tonight's cloudy with showers and storms, low near 51. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now it's 77.
The local conversation continues now on the Truman Show. Once again, here's Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Cliff Sharp. Cliff, you've got a lot of things going on. Do you periodically put on programs that actually can benefit the Greenhouse Ministry as far as things that may be for the community, like tournaments and things like that?
Yes, there's actually there's a golf tournament coming up. I think it's May 19th. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think God kind of told me several years ago, let me take care of your finances, and you're not a fundraiser. I'm not a fundraiser. Mm-hmm. These things like the mayor's prayer breakfast, we make a little bit off from it. We don't make a whole lot. But the great thing about the prayer breakfast, it just pulls that many businessmen together, and I think there's just power in Christians getting together and praying. I think that it just permeates through the whole community, and I think that's one of the reasons we have such a great community. We have an unbelievable community, and so that's what we're hoping will happen with the Grace Fest, is that, you know, people buy tickets. You know, nobody, there's not going to be a speaker. There's not going to be a, you know, not going to pass any basket. It's, you know, it's a ticket thing. And there are three really good nationally known contemporary Christian people. Sidewalk Prophets will be there. Edgemont Hills and Brian Cage, who is the MC at the Dove Awards. You know, so that, I mean, these are really, really quality people. But the thing we're excited about is that we can get that many Christians together just praising God. He deserves it anyway. And,
yes.
And you know, I think when you do things like that, He gives you more favor. And I think that it'll, you know, again, continue to bring favor on the great community we live in.
Do you have a link with the Chamber of Commerce? Because businesses are a major part of the community.
Right. We're a member, of course, of the Chamber. Mm-hmm. And, we work with them on lots of things. And United Way, we just finished doing the free tax returns for mm-hmm. people. And a lot of fun. Got to meet a lot of new people. And again, when a need happens, we're going to say, what can we do to help? And God is really been good as far as supplying our needs. I mean, we're not rich. We don't have very much money to make. But you know what? We're in the black. And if I have to miss a paycheck, I'll miss a paycheck. No big deal.
You know, you do so many wonderful things for the community. When a new business comes in, and of course they usually contact the chamber and all that, do you see a number of them reaching out to Greenhouse Ministry and asking them if there's anything that they can do? Because I know when businesses come in, they like to establish some type of relationship.
Well, we have had some to do that, mm-hmm. but as a rule, probably not. But, you know, that may be a good idea. When they come in, maybe we need to contact them.
I think.
Yeah, we could contact them and just let them know, you know, that we're here to serve, and it again would give them an outlet.
If you lay out your resume to the businesses when they come in and see how you reach out in such a positive way, and it's not one of these things where you're just giving them something and they take off and go. You give them something that's going to last with them.
Right, and that's our goal. You know, we wish that a lot of the people would really make a change in their lives. We think 1 out of 200, that's great.
Bet you get more than that.
Well, we may, but you know, the odds are not really good. But that one that changes, it's worth everything.
You know, when we had prayer and we had special Bible classes at the jail years ago, we started that as a positive program that could maybe help those people out.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, you would get some that it would really sink in well.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it became a part of their lives. And the ones you miss, you hate that you miss them, but the ones you get, it makes it, like you said, it makes it all worthwhile.
It's worth
what
it
you're
all.
Doing.
You know, and whatever we can do to help in the community, that's what we're here for.
Are we missing anything? Because we've run out of time, as usual. It goes too fast, especially when we've got somebody interesting like you on here.
Well, I appreciate that. No, I think that's, you know, about what's going on. But if anyone is interested in volunteering, you know, we're always open for volunteers. We'd love to have them.
In what capacity would you have somebody come?
Whatever they want to do. Anything from stocking the foods to meeting with people to teaching classes. All classes are taught by volunteers. Mm-hmm. If somebody just has a desire, if they want to do some, I had a lady call. She wanted to teach a crochet class. We started a crochet class.
Did you start with them?
I didn't start with them.
You don't look like the crocheter.
I'm not a crocheter. My mom
You're
told
a
me how to.
Eater, aren't
my
you?
Mother told me how to embroidery, but I know crocheting.
All right. Tell everybody where Greenhouse Ministry.
Greenhouse is at 309 South Spring. Next to the tall building is the easiest way to tell people, mm-hmm. or the city tile, old Beatty's building, and we're open Tuesday through Friday, and then classes on Thursday nights. But
you're in walking distance of me. I might walk over and
well, we're
buy
right,
some new
right across
shoes
the street
and,
from here.
Yeah,
But again, I hope a lot of you will buy tickets for the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast and the Grace Fest. And again, join us to just more celebration for this 200th bicentennial.
Can I just pay money at the door?
You can pay money at the door.
Okay.
We take it.
They didn't tell me I was going to have to buy a ticket, so I'll pay at the door.
Well, no, you don't have to buy a ticket
for
that.
Yes, I do.
Well, good. Well, we appreciate it. But thank you again. I've enjoyed being on and just getting a chance to just talk and see what's going on.
I'll have to have you on again. I mean, you
I would love it. I can tell you some good stories about growing up. Because we grew up.
Not on the air, I'll bet you.
Oh, all mine are good.
Sure. We'll leave on that note. And we'll see you guys Monday. And Monday we're going to have Jeff Jordan and Nancy Taylor. And I think we're going to be talking about the 50th class reunion of Central. See you then.